separate from the mind, they don't exist?
It means that they don't exist independent of causes and conditions. They don't exist independent of the parts that compose them. And they don't exist independent of minds that conceive and label them. Okay? So, like, we may look at things and it looks like, you know, this is a clock. Out here, it's a clock. It's always has been a clock. Totally unrelated to anything else in the universe. It's one single, solitary, identifiable object. And yet when we start analyzing, it's not one single object because it has many parts. And it isn't something that's always been a clock because it's been, you know, the atoms and molecules have been many other things. And also, this wouldn't be a clock unless we as a society had a certain conception and definition of a function that a certain object would perform and gave the lame clock to that any object to perform that function. No, because it's changing, 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 moment by moment by moment by moment. It's not like, you know, here is me. I'm in this birth, then I go to this birth, then I go to this birth, but I'm always me. It's not like that. Okay? It's like the river flowing. It's never the same any 2 seconds, any 2 places. But there is a continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I was in school, I had the books, I had the teachers, I had all these things. No, but it wasn't like it was influenced by things in the past. But still, there's mental things going on inside of me right now.
And they're not causes?
They have causes, but things are not fated and predetermined. They're influenced by the past, but there's still a certain amount of flexibility within it. Like right now, you can choose to ask a question, you can choose to keep quiet. And you can see that there's both those abilities within you.
Well,
yeah? And so there is something, yeah? There is some choice within there. Because if everything were completely faded out, if it were predetermined, then we'd have to assume there was somebody else with a grand lesson plan, which would be quite difficult to logically prove. And then, that's kind of like giving up our responsibility, isn't it? Everything's faded, so we don't need to do anything. Like I said, things are influenced by the past, but they aren't predetermined by the past. You see, we're slipping into this absolute freedom or this predetermination. We're slipping into that again, that paradigm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And that's not the frame that we can look at this through and have it make sense. It's like this influence from the past. But at any given moment, there's some mental space and we can make decisions. Now, if we don't have any kind of mindfulness and awareness, and we just kind of let the choice, let each moment flow by, then it is as if we had no choice because we're operating completely on automatic. We're just letting whatever energy came before completely push us because we're not focused in what's happening now and how do I want to steer my energy. So, you know, when we're like that, it's as if the past, you know, the preconditioning is just really, it's very strong at that moment. No? But the opportunity for choice still exists. It's just we're not taking it because somehow we're just spaced out and letting the previous energy again and again and again do its merry-go-round. And so that, you know, I mean, you become really aware of this when, you know, somebody's sitting there and, like, criticizing you, and all of a sudden you become aware, actually, I have a choice. I have a choice. I can either choose to get angry, or I can choose not to get angry. You know, there comes that moment where you realize you actually have some control, that it's not, you know, this given thing that you have to follow the old patterns again and act in the same way. Yeah. And if we aren't mindful, if we don't kind of aren't in tune with what's going on in our own experience, then the past habit just goes, you know, like Niagara Falls, it pushes. Yeah. But actually, that choice is still there. Well, maybe kind of, I think also as you start to understand your own mind through meditation, as you start to observe what is happening in your mind, then it becomes a little bit clearer. Because our mind, as His Holiness says, our mind is our laboratory. Yeah? And by observing how things work, we can observe if the teachings work. It's usually, I mean, we live with our mind and our emotions day and night, but we're really so out of touch with what's going on. It's amazing. Yeah, it's just totally amazing. And what did you think about in the car ride over here? Do you remember everything you thought about in the car? And yet, were you sitting there completely blank when you were riding in the car? Something was going on, wasn't it? Yeah? But you can't remember what it was. I was like, we're out of touch with our experience. Yeah? Yeah. Well, you can say that, like, karma, I mean, karma is very powerful. It's very powerful. And it's like, you know, I mean, it's like if you have a car going 90 miles an hour, it's difficult to stop right away. And so if somebody's mind is really habituated in thinking in a certain way, or somebody's done a certain action in the previous life that's just really strong, then it's like it's very difficult to stop that. Yeah, there's still always some possibility of modification, but it's like things. Yeah, I mean things are influenced by karma. It's the past influencing the present, but it doesn't mean it's predetermined.
What I mean is, wouldn't it have to be karma that he decides not to believe what he believes anymore, even though it's karma what is making him believe what he believes?
Yeah. But it's also his present mind. Okay, it's his karmic pattern, let's say, from previous lives, to have many wrong views. So he's experiencing now the result that's similar to the cause in terms of instinctual behavior, because, again, he's generating wrong views. Okay? So, in that way, it's like his previous karma is influencing his inability to understand right now. But it's his mind right now that is not understanding. Yeah?
So, then, if somebody with clear karma, how do they choose if they think it's just some karma driving them?
Okay. How do somebody who's free of karma, then their intention, yeah, is directed more by compassion and wisdom. Okay, then they aren't pushed by the force of previous contaminated karma created with this grasping and inherent existence, but they are influenced by their previous actions. And so, like, if somebody's trained a lot in compassion, yeah, they say that Chenrezig is bound to sentient beings by compassion. I didn't talk about that. Bound by compassion. It's like the compassion is so strong that it just permeates the intention. Well... Oh, yeah. Now, you have to realize, I mean, a lot of these questions, I am giving you answers as to my current level of ability, okay? So don't take any of my answers on any of this stuff. I mean, ask the Buddha, he knows better, okay? And ask my teachers, they know more than me. So I'm giving you my understanding. Okay, schizophrenia, I mean, that is definitely something karmic, okay? You know, I mean, my guess is that if somebody, let's say somebody was, you know, I mean, like, you hear stories of the Chinese torturing some of the Tibetans, or during World War II, the way the Nazis treated the prisoners. Now, you think of somebody whose mind got really into torturing another human being, and there are definitely people who do this. You know, they receive medals for it. Now, you think of that person, you know, they spend so much time and energy thinking of how cleverly to torture somebody. They get so much pleasure out of it, out of creating stress and pain and distress in other people. Now, it seems to me that that kind of action would be a karmic cause for insanity in a future life. Because if you start to experience what you've caused others to experience, then very easily your mind can't handle it. Yeah? So I think that something like schizophrenia, it's a combination of the ripening of previous karma plus the mental factors that are arising at the present, because it is there are definite mental factors arising in the present that are coloring the way the person is perceiving something. Yeah, so I would take the combination of the two things. Yeah? And you can see in something like schizophrenia, it's very interesting. Even though, like, from a psychological viewpoint, sometimes they may say this person doesn't have a very good sense of self. From a Buddhist viewpoint, you would say they have incredible self-grasping. Yeah? And you can see, because there's just such incredible, like a magnet, everything drawn into my experience. It's like there's no space in the mind for anything besides this incredible strong sense of I. Then that, it makes it so painful. And you can see quite directly why ignorance causes pain. So that when we say, you know, that something like schizophrenia or whatever has some karmic influence, that doesn't mean that schizophrenics are bad people. Because when you look at it, you know, in all of our infinite lifetimes in samsara, in cyclic existence, we've done all these horrible things, you know, not once, many times, you know. And so it's just we aren't experiencing those results right now. But we wouldn't say we're bad people. It's just, you know, kind of according to what's ripening at the moment. And so it's not like, oh, somebody was bad, so they deserve to suffer because they're a bad person. It's just like, everybody makes mistakes. Those people made mistakes. We make mistakes when we're overwhelmed by this ignorance. We make lots of mistakes. You know? So it has nothing to do with being a bad person or being sinful or evil. It just means, you know, that our ignorance overwhelmed us and made us make mistakes. But then turn around and we get that, and we experience that energy ourselves. Yeah? So no need to start putting value judgments on ourselves and others. See, this is another one of our Western things. Yeah, we come into something and we immediately want to say good person, bad person. From a Buddhist point of view, that's a completely useless categorization. There's no such thing as a good person or a bad person. Everybody has Buddha nature. Yeah? Everybody has that basic clarity of mind. It's just that the mind gets clouded over. Like Seattle sky gets clouded over. Doesn't mean the sky is bad. The sky is still the sky. Yeah. And also our whole Western thing of deserve. You get what you deserve. If you have tones of, you know, being 4 years old, 5 years old, hearing that. You know, again, from a Buddhist viewpoint, it's not, you don't get what you deserve. It's not, there's nobody sitting there saying, you know, you did this, you deserve this, you get rewarded, you get punished. It's not that. No, it's just, You plant poppies and poppies grow, and you plant roses and roses grow. That's it. We have to rethink a lot of our very stubborn concepts. Yeah? And so also our whole Western idea of blame. Have you ever thought about how much time in one day we spend blaming? Yeah, I don't know about you. I mean, a lot of my energy goes into blaming. It's like anything that happens that I don't like, you know, then I have to blame somebody for it. So I either blame myself, and then you get into the whole thing of, you know, low self-esteem and that, or you blame others, in which case, you know, I'm the morally, righteously, self-righteous, indignant, you know, perfect one, blaming somebody else. And again, from a Buddhist viewpoint, I mean, there's nothing to blame. There's nobody to blame. It's just if causes get created, results come. So what's the use of putting all this mental energy into this judgmental attitude of I'm bad or they're bad? It's just I create certain causes, they create certain causes, everything comes together, you get a result. You know, I mean, when you bake a cake, you put in the flour and the you know, and the, not eggs, because we're trying to do that. You put in the whole wheat flour, and you put in the, you know, the organic oil, and you put the egg substitute, and you know, and when all, and you some cinnamon and stuff like that, when everything bakes, you get a cake. I mean, you don't blame the cake on the flour, and you don't blame the cake on the egg substitute, you don't blame the cake on the oil, you know, it's like, all these different things came together, lots of different causes, conditions, energies came together, got a cake.
It wasn't causes, conditions, energies.
But that's thinking free choice. They're free beings, completely independent. They have no ignorance, they have no attachment, they have no anger, they have complete control of their mind. See, we're getting back into that extreme again. Yeah? We're pushed, I mean, ordinary beings are pushed and influenced by their ignorance, and so very often are totally out of control. So what's there to blame? It's like if somebody's completely crazy, you know, and they come in and they start, you know, shouting and screaming and insulting you, and you know this person is like, you know, they're totally flipped out, you know, then you don't get angry at them and you don't blame them because you know that they don't have any control over their mind. You know, they're flipped out. They don't have that control. Now, similarly, your boss might come in and really start yelling and carrying on at you. And again, it's like your boss is getting pushed by their, you know, their viewpoint, by their karma, by a whole bunch of different things coming together, and because they aren't present there in the moment to know what's going on, the past energy is just taking them. So again, why get angry at them? You know, when beings are completely overwhelmed by their ignorance, you know, I mean, we're completely overwhelmed by our ignorance most of the time. Yeah? What's there to blame? So why blame other people when they make mistakes?
Yeah. A physical state of irritation. Mm-hmm. And then I go look for the reasons.
Well, it might be, you're saying it like you notice the physical symptoms before you notice the mental ones.
Yeah.
The mental ones may actually be there but you're not noticing them until you get the physical thing. And then that causes you to say, oh, I better look at what's going on inside me. Yeah. I mean, often an uncomfortable physical sensation is a good trigger for us to say, hold on, I got to check up what's going on inside. But if we get in the habit of checking up more often what's going on inside, we may find that we can notice the irritation or whatever it is when it's quite small before the physical thing gets really big. Yeah. It's like before the adrenaline gets pumping, you might notice that, you know, oh gee, I'm getting irritated.